KZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Chuck Sievertson. Evacuations jumping as a new Los Angeles County wildfire explodes. About 55,000 ordered to evacuate in the Castaic area near Santa Clarita. Emergency radio via broadcastify.
Units responding to the brush fire, 149. This will now be the Hughes incident. Command.
There's a huge plume of smoke with flames chewing through the Angeles National Forest. There are some evacuations in place, and schools in the area are bringing children indoors because of the smoke.
The LA County Sheriff's Department confirms to ABC News that it is beginning a partial evacuation of a jail south of the fire. The House has given final passage to an immigrant detention bill, sending President Trump the first law he can sign. Already passed the Senate, it requires detention of immigrants in the U.S. illegally if they've been arrested for certain crimes. Police in Nashville say a 17-year-old shooter opened fire in a high school cafeteria today, killing a female student, wounding a male, and then killed himself. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Public Instruction has announced it will pause hiring and out-of-state travel amid budget constraints. In a memo sent to staff on Friday, the agency announced it would freeze hiring for all jobs except two critical positions through the end of June. They also announced a pause on out-of-state travel and that it would consider voluntary reductions in paid working hours if requested by individual employees. Officials cited a $2.3 million reduction in state funding as a major factor in the decision to reduce spending. The Wisconsin Department of Revenue is reporting an increase in the amount of taxes and fees collected this December compared to previous years. According to their report, the state collected nearly $2.1 billion in general purpose taxes and fees this year, up from about $2 billion last December. The increase represents a nearly 2% bump over the previous December, and in total, the state collected over 5% more than it did the previous year, with $9.7 billion this year compared to $9.2 billion in 2023. A Duluth paper plant has received nearly $2.4 million in state funding to help clean up contaminants at the facility. The Minnesota Department of Employment and Economic Development announced the grant funding earlier this week, which is meant to offset the cost of contaminant cleanup by up to 75%. Officials from the Sofidale paper say they're planning a huge expansion to double the size of the facility, but needed to clean those contaminants first. The $200 million expansion would include new warehouses and a converting facility. The annual point-in-time count is set to begin in the Chippewa Valley today. According to a press release from the Western Dairyland Economic Opportunity Council, the point-in-time count seeks to establish a statistically reliable accounting of the number of people experiencing homelessness in the region, with the data collected being included in the annual homelessness assessment report. The last point-in-time count found a significant increase in the number of unhoused individuals in the Chippewa Valley, especially in Eau Claire County. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks game called off due to weather. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks game tonight against the Pelicans has been called off due to the winter weather in New Orleans. The city hit in some areas with up to a foot of snow, making travel for fans in Louisiana treacherous. So the Bucks are returning to Milwaukee. They'll host the Miami Heat at 6:30 tomorrow night at Fiserv Forum. And the NBA says the game against the Pelicans will be rescheduled at a later date. College basketball. Badgers returning after losing at UCLA 85-83. Marquette with an easy win over Seton Hall, 76-59. NFL, the Chicago Bears introducing their new head coach, Ben Johnson, who has been the offensive coordinator of the Lions the past three seasons.
I've got tremendous amount of respect for the coaches and the players in this league. Dan Campbell, Kevin O'Connell, you're talking about two guys that are up for Coach of the Year awards. And to be quite frank with you, I kind of enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice a year.
That's the Bears' new head coach, Ben Johnson, with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, lingering flurries and lows of 5 to 10 below. Mostly sunny for tomorrow, highs near 5 to 10 above. Partly sunny for Friday, highs in the mid to upper teens, but warmer for the weekend as highs climb into the 20s. Currently, it's 12 degrees.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Luke Mathers joins us now.
The Bucks were playing, the Badgers were hosting Minnesota, and I couldn't get either of those games on YouTube TV.
Years later, they're going to look back at this and go, oh my God, how did you guys get through it?
I mean, things don't happen in a vacuum, though, and you have to elect people that will break up these giant monopolies and allow us to watch our favorite teams in peace.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Carmelo Anthony for The Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presume innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We will review the governor's State of the State address and the Republican response and take your phone calls as well. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Albaugh Show.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who prefers to travel by catapult, Pete Schwabba.
That's not true. Can't travel by catapult. That's just pure silliness. Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. My fellow Wisconsinites, it is a pleasure to serve you on the radio tonight. So glad you could be with me on day three of me wearing a hat on the radio, Conrad. It's bizarre, but I'm cold, even though now I got a hat on and I'm in short sleeves, so I'm completely conflicted.
Yeah, that studio one just gets you every time, doesn't it?
It's brutal. We got to turn up the heat. It was better yesterday in here. I don't know if they turn the heat down because it's like not as cold outside, but I have wet hair and I cannot stand having wet hair in the cold. A little warmer today, huh?
Yeah. I didn't wear my heavy duty Packers jacket today.
You don't have your maple syrup flannel on either. Just the basic hoodie.
I got the hoodie on.
All right. That works. Hey, it's great to have you with us, wherever you're joining us from in Wisconsin, as we are broadcasting statewide from beautiful downtown Green Bay at City Deck Landing at WGBW. Really fun show tonight. We got some great guests, as usual. Rob Thomas will join us at 6:35. Rob writes for the CityCast Madison. He's the newsletter editor, and he is just a phenomenal TV and movie critic. So Rob will be here. We'll talk about the Oscars. He also wrote a recent piece for CityCast Madison about the comedy scene in Madison. We'll talk a little bit about that and the legacy of David Lynch. And always fun to talk to Rob. And I know he's seen stuff I have not seen, so we will ask him what we should be going to see in the theaters as well. And then at 7:20, this is kind of exciting. One of the first comedians I saw in Chicago when I started, I was still in college. I went to check out a show at Zany's Comedy Club downtown. And Skip Kiparis was the headliner that night. And Skip is on the show tonight. Also, that's not just why we had him on, but he is the, would you say, color commentator in Major League?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he sits opposite Bob Uecker throughout the Major League films. And Bob does play-by-play, as you know, in the movie, if you've seen it. And Skip Kiparis is the color commentator who does not say much as a color commentator. But Skip was very funny in the movie. We'll talk to Skip about his experience working next to the great Bob Uecker, who just passed away last week. We'll talk to Skip about comedy. He also used to tour with Olivia Newton-John, which I think is really cool. Like, Skip has been around a while, so I'm excited to reconnect with him and have him on the show. That's tonight at 7:20. Lots going on. New Wisco Weekend is right around the corner. Did you do something this week, Conrad?
Yeah, I actually asked our pal, who's been on the show, Mike Kauf, to join, to talk about comedy sports.
Comedy sports. I see what you did there. Because you do sports for comedy. That's sports. Comedy is a sports. Sports are entertainment. It all goes hand in hand. How was Mike? He's probably a really good interview. He's
great,
fun.
Great interview. And just the answers he has, you can just tell how much he loves comedy sports.
Yeah.
And what it means to him. So, it's going to be, it's a good little segment if you want to listen to it.
This is kind of fun. The movie I chose this week for New Wisco Weekend for the classic movie pick of the week was Hoosiers, one of my all-time favorites. And when a film is done so perfectly, like in terms of direction, cast, music, cinematography, you don't even care that it's slightly hokey or corny at times. And I feel like Hoosiers has a hint of that, as does the film Remember the Titans. But they're still great because all the other elements are there. I made that my classic movie pick of the week, and it got me thinking for tonight that I wanted to have a little discussion about underdogs. So with that as my segue, let's get into the question of the night, shall we?
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Okay, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
Who is your favorite underdog? And we can open this up. I'm thinking movies and TV, underdogs. But if there's someone in life that you think is worthy of a mention for the answer to our question of the night, that's fine too. Who is your favorite underdog? We've done underdog movies, and it's okay if you want to go to the well and pull out a Rocky or an Aaron Brockovich or Hoosiers or like an ensemble cast of Remember the Titans. Karate Kid is another great one. There are so many movies with great underdogs. There's even a movie called Underdogs. Rudy is another one. And interestingly enough, the filmmakers behind Hoosiers are the same team behind Rudy. So who is your favorite underdog? And if you say underdog, that's fine. But I wouldn't really count the actual underdog as an underdog. So let us know, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC, or text us on the app. If you don't have the Civic Media app, I highly recommend it. It's very easy to use, and you could just click the little text button next to whatever station you're listening on and shoot us your thoughts on the question of the night or whatever we're talking about tonight. It's always great when you guys are more part of the show and join the fun. So who is your favorite underdog? You've seen Hoosiers, right, Conrad?
I was actually going to ask you, when you played basketball in high school, right?
I did.
Did you actually watch that with your basketball team?
No, I never did.
Yeah, we actually, like, one day, you know, we just went into a classroom or whatever, and we all watched the movie.
Really?
Yeah,
like, with the blessing of the teacher?
Well, no, it was after school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, when I played varsity, it was just like, I think it was like the second week or something, we just went in there and watched it, and it was awesome.
We did that. We watched, what did we watch? For intramural football, when I was at DePaul University, I think we watched Rocky. And we're like, we're going to go out and destroy these guys. It was flag football intramurals. None of us, we were all mediocre athletes, you know. And we get out there, and we just got spanked. So, like, you lead the charge out of the dorm, or in your case, the classroom, and you're so fired up, and then your hopes and dreams are immediately squashed.
You know what?
Did you guys win?
No, it was just a practice, you know, after practice.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
You know what I am so mad at UW-Milwaukee for? They didn't have a flag football team until I graduated.
Of course.
I said that to all my friends. We're like, oh, we would have been the best.
Yeah, sure you would. Flag football, like, does that almost seem as dangerous as tackle in a way? Like, you're leaning in with your bare head to grab a flag. I bet there are just as many collisions in flag football as there are, and like, really serious head-to-head contact, actual head to actual head.
Yeah, I remember we played flag football in gym class in high school, and one guy just didn't like me, and he actually
get out of here
completely ripped off, like, my shirt. Like a tour.
Wait, why?
And I just got it.
Why didn't he like you?
I don't know. We just didn't get along.
I almost did a Mrs. Seinfeld there and said, how can anyone not like you? So that's our question, folks. Get in on the fun. Let us know who your favorite underdog is. It could be from movies or TV or in life, whatever. We'll read your answers on the radio. Conrad, how can people watch the radio if they're so inclined? Oh, he's on the – Conrad's taking calls. He's making calls. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, this is exciting. Helping Us Light the Night is a new sponsor, and what better way Or who better to help light the night than a cigar company? Appleton Cigar on College Avenue has been serving the community for over 25 years. If you are a cigar aficionado or if you're just starting out, go there for some guidance. If you're looking for a one-of-a-kind experience, you need to check out Appleton Cigar, which boasts the largest selection of cigars north of Milwaukee with over 700 cigars to choose from and a walk-in humidor. The Cigar Lounge offers an impressive variety of spirits and cocktails that pair perfectly with a premium cigar for the full experience. Come to Appleton Cigar at 415 College Avenue, Monday through Saturday, 11:30 a.m. to 10:30 p.m. For more information, go to appletoncigar.com. That's interesting. When Norm was here, we'll have to have Norm on again soon. Very excited to have him and Appleton Cigar as a company. But what I would love to know what cocktail goes with a cigar. To me, it would be whiskey. Like whiskey and a cigar would be dynamite. But I bet there's a lot of different, you know, some people might want like an old fashioned, like, but it seems like the darker alcohol would go better with a cigar. That's a question for Norm. Conrad, take a memo. We got to ask Norm that question next time.
Sounds good.
There's a new Mark Wahlberg movie coming out.
I saw the trailer for that and I don't know why it kind of scared me.
Like, because it's going to be bad?
Because I've never seen Mark Wahlberg like that in a movie. It's just kind of funny to me.
It is kind of weird. The guy gets up at 3 a.m. to work out. He's a workout maniac. Frankly, and I almost made this our question tonight, I don't ever need to see Mark Wahlberg in a movie again. And it's nothing against him. He's fine. But his movies tend to all be 2 to 2.5-star films. He's a fine actor. It's not like I'm disappointed. But man, unless he does something differently, I just don't think I need to see him in a movie anymore.
I absolutely love Daddy's Home. With Will Ferrell and Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, okay. See, he has comedy chops.
Those movies are hilarious.
Is that when Eva Mendes comes in and Mark Wahlberg doesn't believe that she's married to Will Ferrell?
Yes.
Who is that? That's my wife. No, seriously. Yeah, that's a different kind of movie. I guess I'm talking about in this genre of action.
Yeah.
And like, okay, you're bald. Is that enough of an acting leap? And it's directed by Mel Gibson, who is an absolute lunatic. So,
oh, wow. I didn't even know
that. Yeah, I didn't know that until yesterday. Maybe it's good. Mel Gibson is capable of making a really good movie. But mostly as an actor, I can't think of... I'll have to Google the movies he's directed because none of them come to mind. I can't remember if he directed Braveheart or not. I think he did. And I'm under strict orders not to. I have this... See this little guy right here? It's like a Vicks Vapor Rub stick.
Okay.
So my nose, it's so damn dry in Northeast Wisconsin. I got humidifiers running around the clock.
Yes.
My nose still feels like it's on fire if I even move a little. So I have this little Vicks Vapor Rub stick, and you stick it in your nose. And my wife saw me doing it on the stream last night. She goes, don't do that. It looks really weird. I didn't even realize. That's how at home I feel here on Nightlight. I feel like people aren't going to judge me. But I'll try to be aware of that because that might look weird. We've got a lot to talk about. Rob Thomas is here at 6:35. We're going to talk about comedy in Madison, David Lynch's legacy. We'll talk about award predictions. I want to see who Rob, if he has any predictions for Oscar nominations, which come out on Thursday. It'll be good to talk to Rob about that, as well as what he's seen. And then Skip Kiparis, he was in the booth with Bob Uecker during Major Leagues 1, 2, and I think 3. We'll talk to Skip. He's a very funny comedian, too. So we'll talk to Skip at 7:20. In the meantime, our question of the night, who's your favorite underdog? 855-752. What's the rest of our number? I'm totally blanking.
4-2? 4-5-4-2.
I have it, but I don't want to look. I don't want to look. 4-8-4-2. Damn. 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know who your favorite underdog is, and let's do Wednesday like it deserves to be done. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
I'm Dr. Jasmine Zapata, Chief Medical Officer for Community Health at the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. Every year in the U.S., about 21,000 lung cancer deaths are caused by radon, an odorless, tasteless, and colorless gas. 1 in 10 Wisconsin homes has high levels of radon. Does yours? Call 1-888-LOW-RADON or visit lowradon.org to learn more. Test. Fix. Save a life.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Pete Hegseth, confirmation hearing.
I've never disparaged women serving in the military.
Except for, you know, the podcast interview in like late November of 2024 when he said women in combat weaken the military. Except for that, Pete, did you get body snatched? Are you not the same guy that sat down in the Brosphere podcast?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Allbush Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They're changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina,
yes,
can you tell us what you really think?
The Todd Allbush Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Welcome back. It's a Wednesday night edition of Nightlight, kind of a fun midweek thing we do here every Wednesday, helping us get through the weekend, ending the day talking about things that are not stressful. Things that we just want to talk about that make us feel good. No politics, no work. We're not talking about sex. Conrad, we haven't talked about sex in a long time on this show.
We haven't.
I feel like
yeah.
We're due for a sex episode, and I think people need to hear it. Let's think about that and think of how we can do that in a fun, innocent way. Our question of the night, ladies and gentlemen, who is your favorite underdog? It could be from movies, TV, real life, whatever. Let us know who your favorite underdog is. A friend of mine texted me, Dave, who does not ever text the show, and said, Jean Valjean from Les Mis. That is a great underdog and a great character I never would have thought of. So thank you, Dave. Text the damn show, though, will you? It's more fun. We have a caller, Conrad?
Yes, we do.
Who do we have?
We got Dick from Lodi.
Dick from Lodi. Hey, Dick, how's it going?
It's going all right. How are you, Pete?
Doing very well. Thanks for the call. What's good on your mind, buddy?
Well, I was under the assumption that it had to be from a movie, so I guess that may have skewed my thinking here. But how about the Warriors?
Oh, I mean, yes,
serious underdogs and under extreme risk of certain dismemberment or death, and I don't know.
That is a great answer, and I wouldn't have thought of that either. The Warriors, for those of you who don't know, it's a great film from the late 70s. All the gangs of New York come together and have a big rally, I think in Central Park, and they say, we outnumber the cops, like 8-1, whatever it was, and they decide that they're going to take over the city. But the leader, I think, Dick, correct me if I'm wrong, but Cyrus gets shot. He's the one that called the meeting.
Right.
Okay, and the Warriors get blamed for it. So they have to make it back to Coney Island, and all these other gangs are after them. And they kind of have to fight their way home. It is a great movie.
Fantastic movie, and somewhat compelling. I mean, I think we're all going to have to be Warriors these next 4 years.
Absolutely. You should be a Warrior anyway, Dick. I can tell you already are. You have it in your voice. Thanks so much, buddy. Have a great night.
Right on. Fight the good fight.
All right. That's Dick from Lodi. That's a great one because the Warriors, and it's so funny, like in the 70s, that was considered kind of a violent movie, but there's like maybe 3 gunshots in it. It's mostly old school gang, baseball bats, a pipe. They all have their costumes, but there are some phenomenal scenes in the Warriors, and that is a really good answer. Thank you, Dick, for the phone call. Phone lines are open too, folks. Conrad, I always say text us, but you're welcome to call us as well, and we can have a little chat over what I like to call the telephone. Anna from Madison checks in and says, hi, Pete and Conrad. Okay, she said ND.
Notre Dame Conrad.
Like Conrad, yeah. but I think it was just a typo. Anna says, my favorite underdog in the film is Sally Field in Norma Rae. Yes. Another great underdog. That movie was about the creation of a union led by Norma Rae, played by Sally Field. I have not seen it in years. I don't fully remember it, but I remember it because it was a great film. I believe Oscar nominated too. Great answer, Anna. Thank you. Chris, this is our buddy Chris Casper. The Minnesota Vikings are my favorite underdogs. I'm a glutton for punishment. There is always next year. You know, Chris, as a Bear fan, I sympathize with you. However, your Vikings, buddy, you were surprised too, Conrad. They were supposed to go farther this year. I thought the Vikings were going to regroup from that Detroit loss.
Total collapse.
I love their coach. They got good personnel. Yeah, they got a great defensive coordinator. That was a shocker. Thanks, though, Chris. And better luck next year. There's always next year. Nick from Marshall says, hey, Pete and Conrad, one of my favorite underdog movies is... Oh, is this like an anime? Help me, Conrad.
Shadows?
With Kai Manny Marley, Spraga Benz, and Wycliffe Jean. I know Wycliffe Jean. Snowing here in Marshall. What about Green Bay? We do not have snow, but it looks weird. It looks like we're primed for snow.
Yeah, it's dreary, Nick, out there. It just doesn't look right.
It really does not. And I'm sorry I didn't know the pronunciations of some of your underdogs there, but I do appreciate your contribution to the show. Have a great night, Nick. Sherry from Horicon says, hi, Pete and Conrad, with her usual lovely emojis. Hello, Sherry. Great to have you with us tonight. Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids says, Leon, the first replicant Decker, retires in the movie Blade Runner. Oh, wow. That's for the underdog, I guess. God, I forgot. I got to see that movie again, too. I've seen the original Blade Runner and the remake, but I'm due probably for a rewatch on both. Thank you, Tyler, for being part of the show. Jim in Brookfield. Steve in Florida. He's in the 920, even though he's in Florida. Steve says, the perfect prison underdog, Andy Dufresne in Shawshank Redemption. Epic scene when the corrupt warden ripping off the poster and finding the tunnel that Dufresne dug to get out for his freedom. Greatest escape ever. That was phenomenal, Steve. And I'll tell you what, I want to say another underdog I had on my list was Forrest Gump. Fictional character, like most of these are. But those two, if I remember correctly, were both up for Best Picture in the same year. And I remember being kind of mad that Forrest Gump won because it was so cartoony and kind of, aw, shucks. I don't know. I just liked Shawshank Redemption a lot better. And I could be wrong on that. I'm just going from memory, but I think it was 1994. And I loved Shawshank Redemption. The movie absolutely blew me away. Great text. Thank you, Steve. Jim from Appleton says, here's a different underdog. Lawnmower Man. Jim scores again. I know it's a horror film.
I've never seen it.
Let's go to the Google. Let's find it.
Sure.
We owe it to Jim. But anyway, that's the question. Who's your favorite underdog? You got other ones too. Another friend of mine texted, said Homer Hickam from October Sky. I remember that film. That's when Jake Gyllenhaal says, I want to go into space. But I can't remember if he was an underdog or not. How about Cameron Frye from Ferris Bueller? He's kind of a sidekick that gets roped into stuff. He's not very confident, you know? I don't know who else. Pete Parker?
I got two, okay?
Yeah, you didn't even go yet.
Dodgeball?
the whole movie?
Just
the team?
Average Joes, obviously.
Average Joes, okay.
And in real life, the 2010 Packers.
They were underdogs for sure. That nobody expected them to win that year, right? They
exactly.
were like kind of came out of they like just hit their stride at the right time.
Yep.
I'm sure Chris Casper loved hearing that. Lawnmower Man. Here you go. I'll read that about that during the break. All right, Rob Thomas is coming up next, folks. We're gonna talk Oscar nominations. They come out Thursday. We'll get Rob's predictions, talk to him about the Madison comedy scene, movies, David Lynch, everything. You've got it all here on Nightlight. Skip Kiparis from the movie Major League coming up at 7:20. This is Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. A new proposal with bipartisan support in the Wisconsin state legislature would make all gun safes exempt from the state's sales tax. Lawmakers say they're hoping the legislation will encourage more residents who own firearms to keep them stored securely in their homes, reducing the risk of accidental injury or that children will be able to gain access to the firearms. The legislation comes as Governor Tony Evers announces plans to include comprehensive gun safety measures in his biennial budget proposal that will be released in February. Wisconsin Republican lawmakers are planning to introduce legislation to return the evaluation of student test scores to previous benchmarks. The Department of Public Instruction made the change last year, changing the scores needed to reach certain achievement levels with new names. Supporters of the legislation say returning to scores that align with national standards will make it easier to compare scores to previous years and to scores from other states. Superintendent Dr. Jill Underly says the standards were updated but not lowered. A large fire near a wood pellet manufacturing plant and freezing temperatures left Hayward area fire crews battling a blaze for hours earlier this week. According to fire officials, the fire started at a bag house at the Lignetics of Great Lakes wood pellet manufacturing plant on Highway 63 near Hayward. Freezing temperatures also reportedly caused difficulties in getting equipment and hoses to function properly during the blaze. Crews were on the scene from around 9:30 p.m. on Monday to 1:30 a.m. on Tuesday when the fire was extinguished. A Duluth animal shelter is looking for support from the community after a burst pipe forced them to close for a couple of days. Officials from Animal Allies say none of their animals were hurt in the Friday pipe burst and they were able to reopen the shelter on Sunday, but a lot of important supplies were lost in the flooding. The shelter is requesting donations from anyone who's able to help replace some of those items that were damaged or lost, most of which includes administrative office supplies. Donations can be made online. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Cameron Diaz would love to be in the sequel of The Mask, but there is a condition. The Something About Mary actress who starred in the first Mask as Tina Carlyle in 1994 said she would absolutely love to do another installment, but only if Jim Carrey is involved. In the film, Carrey played a banker who develops magical powers when he puts on a mask that makes him an ornery cuss. Carrey says he is open to another chapter of the franchise if the circumstances are right. Translation, show him the do-re-mi. If you're looking for a trip down memory lane, you might want to revisit David Lynch's foray into network television, 1992's Twin Peaks. Inspired by David Lynch's passing last week, I got the urge to check it out, and it does not disappoint. It's beautifully shot, as is all of Lynch's work, has great music, and it's got incredible acting by a phenomenal cast. It might seem a bit dated, but the story holds up. No spoilers, as casual fans might have forgotten who killed Laura Palmer. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, lingering flurries and lows of 5 to 10 below. Mostly sunny for tomorrow, highs near 5 to 10 above. Partly sunny for Friday, highs in the mid to upper teens, but warmer for the weekend as highs climb into the 20s. Currently it's 12 degrees.
Earl Ingram.
Is there an absolute right and wrong in things and in society?
Sure.
So somebody on the other side is clearly supporting something that is wrong, and I'm supposed to...
Well, it's a two-way street.
I think if we all would become open to talk and dialogue, we could get somewhere. The space between you can only be bridged by trying to understand what it is the other person is thinking and why.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Luke Mathers joins us now.
The Bucks were playing, the Badgers were hosting Minnesota, and I couldn't get either of those games on YouTube TV.
Years later, they're going to look back at this and go, oh my God, how did you guys get through it?
I mean, things don't happen in a vacuum, though, and you have to elect people that will break up these giant monopolies and allow us to watch our favorite teams in peace.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday morning, we'll review Governor Evers' State of the State address with State Senator Jeff Smith and Assembly Assistant Minority Leader Kalen Haywood.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
mom checks in. Says her favorite underdog is Rudy. He has the want and will to go after what he wants. Sounds like you had some big shoes to fill in your house, Conrad.
I can't fill Rudy's shoes.
Compared to Rudy growing up. Mom, it's a movie. And then Nick for Marshall clarified. He says, Shottus, I hope I'm saying that right, is a Jamaican gangster movie that came out in 2002, I believe, and was filmed in Miami and Jamaica. Kaimani is one of Bob Marley's 12 children. Oh, that's awesome. Thank you, Nick, for clarifying that. And sorry I hacked through your initial text. I really have never heard of that movie, though. But that's good to add to the list. Thank you. Who is your favorite underdog? That is our question tonight. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Text us on the app. Text us on the stream. Just text us, folks, and be part of the show. It is my pleasure now to welcome one of our favorite frequent flyer guests here at Nightlight. He is a film and TV critic based in Madison, Wisconsin. You can check out his Substack at Not That Rob Thomas on Substack. And he is also the CityCast Madison newsletter editor. And he joins us now on the stream. Rob Thomas. Rob, how are you?
I'm great, Pete. How are you?
Doing very well. Did I get there? It's Not That Rob Thomas, the Substack.
Correct.
Not Rob. Rob. Yes. 77 is Twitter. Follow Rob on Twitter, too. He's a good follower.
That's right. Although I kind of left Twitter a while ago. Now on Blue Sky and, you know, who knows. Eventually you circle around, you end up on MySpace again. That's how it works. But
I just set up a Friendster account. So,
yeah,
it's all coming back. You know, I'm with you about Twitter. I just, there's only so many times I can read people who just use an avatar and don't use their real names that are just dropping nonsense all the time. And anger. I can't do it. And I hope Blue Sky doesn't become that. So far, so good. But we'll see.
I think in general, I'm trying to, like, you know, step back somewhat from social media. I think it does, even the good, in a positive sense, it wires your brain in a not that healthy way.
So, right.
Yeah.
Yeah. My son has tried to give up social media several times, and he actually goes through withdrawal. And because, you know, you get so used to scrolling and looking at reels and all that kind of stuff, it becomes part of your day. But all the more power to people who can give it up. I don't think I can, frankly.
I try and do a Saturday sabbatical where I don't go on social media.
Oh, that's
I'm not often successful, but at least I'm like thinking about it that day. Yeah.
That's interesting. That's a good way to do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rob, you're always full of great suggestions when you drop by Nightlight. I love that. Hey, you wrote a great article about comedy in Madison. Can we talk about that before we jump into the movie stuff?
Yeah, I mean, it just struck me. We interviewed this great Madison comedian about his show in Nate Chappell about his show in Madison. He was recently diagnosed with autism.
Wow.
And he went on our podcast, the CityCast Madison podcast, which is kind of the companion to the newsletter, and talked about it. And he was putting on a show with all comedians diagnosed with autism to raise money for awareness. And it just struck me, like, we get a lot of great big name comics coming through Madison, like Brian Regan's coming Friday night.
He's great.
Patton Oswalt's coming to the Comedy Club here next month. That's all sold out. But I wanted to shine a spotlight on all the cool, interesting local comics. Like, we have a great open mic night at the Comedy Club on State. You know, Madison has a great tradition of improv comedy, like Comedy Sports. And then, as everybody knows, Chris Farley came up on the Madison improv scene. So, yeah, I wrote something just kind of showing a spotlight on kind of the interesting things that a lot of the local comedians here are doing.
It's interesting. My friend Matt Besser, who ended up being one of the Upright Citizens for the Upright Citizens Brigade, he started I don't know if he started Madison, because I think he was originally from Chicago, but there was a guy named David Gray, and the two of them came to Chicago from Madison, and they were both really funny guys. David Gray has since passed away, but Matt went on to have really big success with the Upright Citizens. Is Madison a great comedy town, Rob? How do you rank it, like, to Milwaukee? Or even Chicago, for that matter. Obviously, it's not as big as those places, but it does have a good comedy structure, don't you think?
I think, and what you hear from touring comedians is they love playing Madison because the audiences are smarter and they're more willing to be forgiving and hear out different kinds of comedy, different styles. So I think that's why, like I said, Patton Oswalt would play theaters here, like the Orpheum. And now I think he likes playing the club because he knows he can get a really good audience. People are always testing out material here or filming their specials here.
Yeah.
So it's just, yeah, I feel like we're really lucky that Madison's got kind of a reputation as a good town for comedy, both the quality of the audiences and the quality of the local comics here.
Everyone I know back in the 90s when I did stand up loved to work Madison and Milwaukee for that matter. There was a great club in Milwaukee, but Madison too. This is before Comedy on State. They were just about a block closer to the Capitol and it was different owners.
Right.
But that club has such a good reputation, Comedy on State. I know that my son went up there and did an open mic once and felt like Richard Pryor. And then he goes to these other open mics and he goes, oh, man, Comedy on State really spoils you. Like, the audiences there are just good. They're polite. They're attentive.
They're supportive. Yeah. They want you to do well. Yeah.
And that's half the battle. I mean, that's so great. And it's so cool that all autistic comedians, I should have Nate on the show. I didn't even know there were.
You should.
I mean, that fascinates me. I didn't even know there were that many comedians that had autism that were out there touring.
Right. And this is all locals in Madison.
Jeez.
Who he knew. So yeah, you should definitely have Nate on. He's a really funny and interesting guy and does a lot of different, very cool shows here in town.
Yeah. Good to know. You have also, you wrote about a place called Comedy at the Cabaret. That sounded kind of cool. And Jake Snell has been on the show. Very funny. Where is that? I'm having trouble.
North Street Cabaret, which is, I think, known more as like a jazz club, acoustic music club, that sort of thing. But they also do comedy. And of course they have, I think Jake does, you know, plays music in between sets or something like that.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's also the really cool thing is like, you know, Comedy Club on State is great, but you can find comedy. All these places, like there's a place called Crucible in Madison, which is known for like, you know, dance parties and raves and all kinds of, you know, alternative stuff. But then they also have comedy shows that put on there. They do sort of it's like a Mystery Science Theater kind of thing called Schlock and Awe, where they play a bad movie and the comedians have mics and talk, you know, quip their way through it. So
oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw this improv too, which Comedy Sports was born in. You mentioned Comedy Sports. I don't know if they do that at Atlas Improv, but that's a fun show too, and a very different take on improv.
Yeah, and there's different ones. Like there's, I think the two in town are Atlas and Monkey Business, and I've seen Monkey Business again in the basement of a pizza parlor.
Yeah,
and they do like a kid friendly show and early, and then a more grown up show late. And some do like, you know, they do the improv games like Comedy Sports used to do. Others do more long form type thing. I mean, you know, from working in Chicago, which is really the birthplace of a lot of that.
Right.
So I'll just say I saw Matt Besser in like 1991 in Chicago.
Oh, really?
I can't remember his group. I think it's Neo Futurist maybe. But like it was the funniest, wildest show I've ever seen. And it ended with the four actors on. Outside the club on four corners of like Division, I can't remember the cross street, and they were like each doing, they were doing like a Thanksgiving dinner sketch, but they were all like traffic was going in between them, and they'd throw like rolls at each other. It was the funniest. Like that was when I first came to Chicago. I was like, this is a wild town. This is the big city.
Man.
Yeah, it was so fun.
That's great. I remember Besser. He would go on stage and he did not care at all what the audience thought of him. But the comics in the back of the room were cracking up. He went off on a conversation that obviously really happened with a teacher at some point in his life. And he ended up yelling, and I say an avocado is a vegetable at the top of his lungs. And the crowd is like, what is this guy's deal? Another thing Matt did, we were out at one of those, I don't know, some diner after shows, 2 o'clock in the morning, hanging out. And there's these four cops sitting in a booth close by. And Besser walks over and starts doing comedy and improv to the cops, and the cops are just looking at him like, do we run this guy in? He's obviously hammered or something, or do we just enjoy? And they ended up just kind of laughing, and one of my friends said, nicely done, Matt, and he walks over and sits. But a really, really funny guy. I don't see him as
fearless.
Much I haven't seen him in quite a while too, though. But is he from Madison, do you know, Rob?
I don't think so. Okay. I think he's from Arkansas, and I don't. Oh, is that right? I know he was in Chicago. I'm not sure if he was up in Madison. I probably played Madison for sure.
Yeah,
if he was in Chicago, but I think Arkansas is where he's from.
Interesting. Well, yeah. Let's go to. I want to talk Oscar nominations. Our Thursday. I want to see what you think and what your predictions are. But can we start with David Lynch? He passed away last week. How do you define his legacy, and what are your thoughts on him and his career?
Well, it's so interesting because, I mean, he was an absolute American original and I think made movies like nobody else. I think there are definitely some filmmakers now that are inspired by him, but, you know, don't go as far as he did, certainly. But then also, you also get the sense he was a very sweet guy. Like, he was very loyal to his friends. He used to do those weather reports during the pandemic. I don't know if you saw those, where he just kind of, like, you know, give the weather. I mean, he was sort of kind of had a corniness to him in a way, even though he was so avant-garde as a filmmaker.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the Madison Connection, of course, was he directed this movie, The Straight Story, which was co-written by Madison writer John Roach. And it's like the most normal G-rated movie ever made. And it's very sweet, but it's so different from Blue Velvet or Mulholland Drive or anything like that.
Did he live? There were all these rumors that David Lynch lived in Madison because he dated a girl there or something like that. But did he, or was that because of The Straight Story? Or both?
I think that's how he got into the orbit of the writers of The Straight Story. I think it's Mary Sweeney co-wrote it, and that was the woman he was living with at the time. This is maybe the 90s. He exhibited work. Some of it at a couple of local galleries. So he definitely had a presence here for a few years there.
It just seems like a great David Lynch town. Like, it seems like he would like it and they would like him. You know, I think that's do you have a favorite Lynch movie, Rob?
Well, Mulholland Drive is my absolute favorite. I mean, I vividly remember watching that in the theater and just being like, blown away, like where is this going? It's funny, it's terrifying, it's strange, it's moving. I felt like at the end, like I kind of understood it, but I, you know, but sort of right. this dreamlike thing going on, and it was kind of a. I mean, to the other memorable David Lynch screening for me was, and he didn't make a lot of movies. Like his last movie was in 2006. It's called Inland Empire. Very strange movie with Laura Dern. And they screened it for me because I was a critic at the Orpheum. And I was all by myself in a theater that can hold 1,600 watching this David Lynch movie by myself. And at one point, the film broke in the middle and started like bubbling and stuff. And I thought that was part of the movie. I thought that was just supposed to happen. So, there just won't be anybody like him ever again. I mean,
Here's my dilemma. I saw a lot of his stuff when I was younger, and I think I'd have a better appreciation for it now. And I think I saw it because I felt I should. I don't know if you remember the Fine Arts Theater in Chicago. It was down on South Michigan Avenue across from Grant Park. Yeah. And I remember being at DePaul, and I'm like, I'm going to go see this movie because Dennis Hopper was in it. And I took the L down and I sat there by myself. Used to watching movies like Ghostbusters and whatever, and I'm watching Blue Velvet going, what the hell is this movie? But I liked it, and then I started watching more David Lynch films, but I have to go back and give them a rewatch because I saw Mulholland Drive, I saw Wild at Heart, Lost Highway. I never saw Eraserhead, which I guess put him on the map, though.
I didn't either. Yeah.
Let's come back and pick it up there, and we can then transition into movies and the Oscars. Rob Thomas is here, folks. He's the Madison film and TV critic that we love to have on Nightlight. We'll be right back with more on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt Nair on Air.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. On Monday, January 20th, Donald Trump returned to office, sworn in as the 47th President of the United States. Right out of the gate, he took a number of actions on his top issue, immigration. Perhaps the most troubling of these is one aiming to end birthright citizenship in America. An immigration attorney I talked to told me, "We're going to sit through a lot of BS over the course of the next weeks, months, and years, but this is the big one." My take? This action from the Trump administration is despicable, unconstitutional, and fundamentally anti-American. The day after the order was issued, Governor Tony Evers and Attorney General Josh Call joined a coalition of 20 states challenging this action in court. This legal battle will be a tremendously important one for all of us to follow.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Hey there, folks. It's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a tip about saving money when you are renting a car. So you know how you get to the rental counter and then they ask you if you want to prepay for gas so you don't have to bring the car back full? Well, I used to get sweaty in those moments as I wasn't sure what the right money choice was. Prepaying for gas at the rental counter? Not worth it. First off, rental companies often charge more per gallon on the prepay than local gas stations do at the pump. And even if they're about equal, fees or taxes on your rental can tip the scales against prepaying. And you'd have to return that car completely empty to get the full value of buying prepaid gas. Otherwise, you're just buying gas for Avis and Budget or whoever. Quick note, make sure you have time to refill the tank before you return the rental. If you don't prepay and you don't fill up, they are going to charge you like they have refilled that car with liquid gold. For more tips, head to workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. This is The Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app. Welcome to the special live coverage of the State of the State Address on your local Civic Media radio station and the Civic Media app. Governor Tony Evers is set to share his priorities for Wisconsin in 2025.
Todd Albaugh, host of The Todd Albaugh Show, along with Pat Kreitlow, host of Up North News Radio, will guide you through the remarks. You'll also hear from Dan Schaefer with analysis of what the governor's plans mean for you, along with the Republicans' response to it.
Now, your special live coverage of the governor's State of the State address from the state capitol in Madison. Here are your hosts, Todd Albaugh and Pat Kreitlow.
And good evening, everyone. Todd Albaugh here at the world headquarters of Civic Media News, just a block away here on State Street from Wisconsin's state capitol, where in moments, Governor Tony Evers will deliver his 7th State of the State address. We are proud to bring it to you here live across the Civic Media Radio Network, all 11 stations. If you want to tune in for Pete Schwabe, his program continues online. We hope you stay with us. And joining me as co-anchor tonight, the wonderful host of Up North News Radio every morning from 6 until 8 across the Civic Media Radio Network, Pat Kreitlow. Pat Kreitlow, good evening to you, my friend. You bring a unique perspective. Not only are you a longtime journalist and political observer, you also spend a term in the Wisconsin State Senate. Tell us, Pat, what can we expect tonight in the Capitol?
Sore knees from standing up and sitting down, standing up and sitting down. I remember that from Jim Doyle being governor. Not so much of that exercise on the Republican side tonight. If the usual pattern fits, the governor will propose many things. He will try to get some bipartisan reaction to the ideal of something like kids should be able to, you know, not go hungry, maybe not get the applause if he calls for free school lunches and breakfast for all kids. It's going to break down like that for a host of different issues. So he'll talk to two different audiences today, the legislators and the general public, and then he'll hit the road tomorrow to do more of talking to the public and local media.
We have an entire team of Civic Media News around the state of Wisconsin and bringing in our political editor, the founder of the Recombobulation Area, Dan Schaefer. Dan, pleasure to have you with us this evening as well. Help us recombobulate. You've watched this better than anybody else. These new maps that people voted on in November may well play at least a theme behind the scenes of how Governor Evers approaches this speech.
Yeah, I think to me, this is one of the big questions going into this year in state budget conversations in Madison. How will the new margins that came from the new maps impact governing? Because Republicans are no longer at a near supermajority level in the state legislature, how will that play out exactly when we talk about proposals for the state budget? Earlier today, the governor released a number of excerpts from his speech focusing on certain priorities, taxes, workforce, and the economy being one, mental health being another, child safety, child care. So those seem like some of the top priority issues you want he's going to want to get to in this speech to kind of lead into the budget process that we'll be looking ahead to. I think back to a couple years ago when Tony Evers delivered a speech in 2023 talking about the need to really address the state's shared revenue formula. That became a hot topic in the budget then. It'll be interesting to see if he highlights any particular topics, you know, in the weeds along those lines this year as we look ahead to the budget process here in 2025.
This is largely Democratic Governor Tony Evers' evening, but there will be a Republican response afterward. Civic Media will cover that as well, bring that to you live. And our Northwest Wisconsin Bureau Chief James Kelly is following that from our headquarters in Chippewa Falls. James, good evening to you. What do you expect Republicans to say tonight?
Good evening. There's definitely a few things I'm expecting and a few things I'm on the lookout for. The name of the game for state Republicans is tax cuts and cutting spending this year. Wisconsin ended the fiscal year with an over $4.5 billion budget surplus, and there are some disagreements on how to use it. I expect Republicans to reiterate their calls for returning that money to the taxpayers. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and Senate Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu have called for a tax cut of $2 billion already. We could see some criticisms of state spending on things like the newly created Office of Violence Prevention. This session features the newly formed Government Operations Accountability and Transparency Committee, which is essentially a state-level replication of the new Department of Government Efficiency on the federal level. Speaker Voss says the committee's focused on its renewed goal of identifying and addressing government inefficiencies, which could include things like remote work for state employees or administrative services in school. Could see some talk on expanding school choice, or even back and forth over the Joint Finance Committee's apparent unwillingness to release approved funding for things like PFAS contamination and hospitals out here in the Chippewa Valley after line item vetoes by Governor Evers.
Sounds good. You'll be watching that for us, and James will come back to you in a minute, but I want to go also now to our Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief, Lisa Hale. Lisa, good evening to you. You are going to be watching and talking a little bit about what Democrats released earlier this week and what they hope to accomplish as a legislature.
That's right. Last week, they released a package of three bills, the Democrats did, that they are really focusing on this year. And they are bills to reduce costs for families, for senior citizens, and for those who are low income. Specifically, it is one that is called the Healthy School Meals for All, which Pat mentioned a little bit earlier. It's free breakfast and lunch for all school children, not just those deemed to be underserved, but all school children. They actually think that that will reduce a lot of money when it comes to administering the program for school lunches, because they won't have to keep track of who makes what and all of that. The other bills were an extension of the homestead tax credit, which would be to $35,000 of income, a tax credit for your property taxes. And then finally, the Less for Rx agenda, which would put a cap on some medications, such as insulin, at $50 for all people in the state of Wisconsin, not just seniors or whatever. So they're all looking at reducing costs for working families.
We appreciate your great work, both Lisa and James, and following those issues. We'll check in with you throughout the evening. Pat Kreitlow, I want to go back to you. These evenings, look, as a guy who worked in the legislature and never got elected like you did, Pat, but worked for a legislator for a long time, this is a lot about pomp and circumstance, if you're into that, which of course I am. Senators sit along the aisle, and as a former state senator yourself, you know, it's kind of a big deal. The sergeant-at-arms from the assembly comes over, and you all walk from the Senate chamber to the Senate. There's a big hoopla when they get introduced. The senators come down, sit there, members of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. There's some pomp and circumstance to this as well.
Well, sure. There's tradition there. There's a little bit of ceremony, and there's what you would call the quaintness of political norms that are still followed in some circles today, even if not in all of them, where you have a governor who is universally opposed by the majority in the legislature that still gives him a warm welcome. Doesn't mean they applaud everything that he says, but he comes in and, it tries not to become a political rally. But there will be some politics put into all that pomp and circumstance. Governor Evers isn't just speaking to all the legislators and the general public. He's going to speak specifically to what you'd call those swing district Republicans who got in by narrow majorities with the new maps. They don't want to go home in 2026 and say they didn't do anything because Robin Voss didn't want them to do anything. So Governor Evers is going to try to put pressure on them to pass some of these things, like the Healthy School Meals Bill.
Yeah. Watching a live feed right now. We're going to bring this to you live as soon as the governor gets to the dais there and starts. As Pat said, there's some pomp and circumstance. It appears right now that the assembly is waiting for the senators to get to the chamber and take their seats and walk in, and the governor will walk in behind them while we wait for the speech to actually start. Dan Schaefer, I want to go back to you for a moment. We talked this with Pat and Trigvi Olsen on our show a little bit earlier today. Look, we hope that we're proud to bring this speech to our listeners across the state. We think it's important, an important public service, but let's not kid ourselves. Tony Evers is not exactly, and this is no slight to him, not everybody is, not exactly a sexy political speech. This isn't going to be a rousing speech, but who, to Pat's point, this speech really isn't the news, what he says, the headlines tomorrow, and what people